okay?
Good.
All right. Get the incandescents off. There you go. We got a buzz, and that's what we figured out was what it was. Terry, that was great. That was just great, man. I love to feel the presence of God, don't you? Don't you? Just, isn't that one reason you love to come? Just to sense the presence of God. Well, if you have your Bible app or your Bible, your Droid, your iPhone, iPad, whatever that it is, then get to the book of St. John, chapter 13. I'll be there in 5 or 10, 15 minutes, something. Whenever we arrive. This is the Sunday that normally, every year, I'll talk about vision. I'll talk about focus and what I believe that God would have us to begin to focus on and to accomplish during the year. And very little of that ever happens. And the reason that it happens is it's not your fault. It's because I forget what I talked about. And I get focused on something else. And so if I don't remember it, I'm sure that, you know, that you don't remember it either. But this year is going to be a little bit different because it's not just going to be my plan that I want to do. We've already begun some planning times and getting together with what we're going to do and accomplish this year. We've already got some things planned all the way through Valentine and Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. So we got some things coming up. And as soon as they solidify, I'll share more about that with you. But the plan is beginning, you know, right now, right this minute, right today. Is what we're going to be talking about. What we're going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks is what can you do? And I'll make that clear here in just a second. I think that you know, you're aware that church in America is changing. And it's changing quickly and rapidly. In fact, church around the planet is changing. Surveys show and statistics show that people are maybe more interested in spiritual things than they've ever been, but less interested in traditional church than they've ever been. They don't like the religious aspects of it. And you kind of understand that. And the goal now becomes to develop an environment in which people will come to Christ. That's not a traditional environment, but yet still presents Jesus as the Savior and our Lord, which shouldn't be that difficult. That should not be difficult to do. And I mean, when you think about it, when Jesus was on the planet, when he was walking and around, he had no difficulty attracting people who were interested in spiritual things. Did he? I mean, but disinterested in church. I mean, in religious stuff. He attracted people to him who were very interested in the things of the Spirit, very disinterested in religion. And the people that he got along with were people that were interested in spiritual things, but the people he didn't get along with were people that were religious. And so that shouldn't be a difficulty for us. You see, and we can look at this thing, we can look at that fact and that statistic as being a negative thing and that people aren't interested in traditional church. But I don't. We can see it as a bad thing. I don't see it as a bad thing. I see it as a good thing. Actually, I see it as the reason that I was born. I see it as the reason that LifeGate Church exists. There's probably not many preachers that you know of that are less traditional than me. And there's not many churches in this area that are less traditional than this one. Which tells me a lot about you. Obviously, you're not interested in traditional church, or you wouldn't be here, right? So, actually, this year should be our finest hour. I mean, this is where we should shine. We should be head and shoulders above everything else around here. If that statistic is true. And it is. I know it is. So things are changing in America. Now, what I want to talk about over the next couple of weeks is what can you do? And I'll make this very clear in just a second. But before I open it up, before I get into the very first thing that I want to present to you of something that I want you to do, I want to tell you the importance of why I'm talking about this, why I'm going to take time out of Luke and talk about this. Because it's, I think, number one, and put that up, number one is that we need a church to come to, do we not, that we enjoy. That it's fun to go to church. I don't want you to have to come, you know, clawing and dragging your feet to get here. I want you to love to come. I want you to say on Sunday mornings, is it 11? Is it time to go to church yet? I want it to be a fun place to come. I want when you come here that the praise of the music is like it was today. That it's great. It's not good. It's not good enough. It's excellent. I want it to be so good that you sense the presence of God when you worship and when you praise. I want the nursery to be a safe place for your babies and for your infants. I don't want you to have to be concerned about them. I want you to be able to concentrate and focus on God for that hour. I want our toddler class to be a place where your children can go and begin to be imparted the things of God at this early age, because they're going to stick with them. They're going to start learning about Jesus. And they're going to stick with them and help point them and direct them in their lives. And your children, I want them to be in a safe place. And I want them to learn. And I want them to be taught the Bible and learn about Jesus and learn about God. But I also want them to minister. I love it when they minister, don't you? I love it when they minister. I want them to learn how to minister as well. And I want that to be. I want our student ministry to be amazing. Because I don't know if you've ever raised a teenager yet. Or if you've ever been one yet. But if you've ever raised one, or if you've ever been one, you know there comes a time when your teenager won't listen to you, Mom and Dad. They think you're dumb as dirt. They don't think you've had a fresh idea in a decade. But there needs to be an adult person in their lives that they think is cool, that they'll listen to, that can have, and they're going to say the same thing that you're saying. But it's coming from them, and so it's cool if it's coming from them. And they need that in their life. And I want that to be here. And I don't want to be just a good teacher. I want to be the best teacher in this whole region. I want to be the teacher. I want to be the best that there is. And so I want a place to come where when you come here, it's a great time. It's something we look forward to. We know we're going to have a great experience. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing that I think is important while we're talking about this is that I want it to be a place that when you finally get your friends and your loved ones to come, I want it to be a place that you're proud of. I want it to be when they drive in and the sermon begins in the parking lot, and I want them when they come into this parking lot, that they see something that's nice. They see a facility that's maintained and taken care of. The grass is cut and the shrubs are trimmed and there's paint where it needs to be painted and the air conditioning works and the heaters work and that they're able to dismiss their children to their ministries and they're safe back there and they're able to experience the presence of God and praise and worship and we don't make them sing too long and stand and we don't make them sit too long and listen and we're able to have a pleasant experience when you finally get them to come, that we're able to find a way in an environment that will engage them and connect them to what we're about. And that when they leave here and they drive out and the sermon does end, that finally, when they drive by, they think, well, that was good. That was good. They drive by and they think of what happened on that Sunday. Maybe we can help them. So I think that's a second reason that we need to talk about what we're going to be talking about. But the third reason is the reason that I don't know that we understand the influence that we have here. I talk to you about it sometimes, but I don't know if I talk to you about it enough. Because we're ministered to way more people all week long than we minister to here on Sunday. Terry Adams still runs us on television down out of Somerville in Chautauqua County. He runs us there, and I think it's an hour a week still that he's running us. And I guess his sphere, I guess that the way you would look at it is the radius of the radius would be about 100 miles, I suppose. And so that's Floyd County and Gordon County. That goes over into Alabama, of course, Chautauqua County. Of course, then you go up to Dade and Whitfield and Walker and then Whitfield and Catoosa County. And it goes up into Hamilton County and Chattanooga. And all of these areas are getting television. They're getting us on television. And I'm getting calls. And especially since we've got a pretty good mix now on the sound, I'm able to put it on television, and I'm getting calls requesting DVDs for our praise services, requesting stuff for our teachings, the DVDs and CDs and stuff like that. And so there's an influence. There's a lot of people that we're touching that we have no idea that we're reaching into their lives and ministering to them for what we do here on Sunday morning. But here's the big one, and here's the one that I don't know that I can get my head wrapped around, because it's just amazing to me. And it's what we do on the web. And so I want you to see this, and I showed this to the guys Tuesday night as we were talking about the plan, but I want you to see this as well. Now, this is for the 11 days of this year. I know this is the 13th, but this is the latest I can get. This is the website statistic page. And what it shows is it does it every month. So this month, we've only had, up until this, when I did this, 11 days into the year. And so we've had 815 unique monthly visitors. That means in so far this month, there's been 815 unique people that's been to our website that have never been there before. Now, let me make that relevant, too, is what that means. It would be like in the two Sundays that we've had this year having church service, it would be like 815 people coming to LifeGate Church and visiting us that have never been here before. That's pretty good, huh? That would be nice. But see, we're doing that. We're not doing that here, but we're doing that there. And then unique daily visitors. Unique what? Unique daily visitors, 1,568. Daily people. People hit that website daily. Every day. And then they visit 4,936 pages, nearly 5,000 pages. We don't have that many pages on the site. So what these people are doing, these 1,568 people, they're clicking around in that website, and they're looking at sermons, and they're downloading sermons, and they're downloading audios, and downloading notes. They had 11,413 hits. Nearly 6 gigabytes downloaded. A sermon has about 200 megs of space, that a video sermon. An audio sermon has about 50 or 60 megs, and the notes are just a few Ks, maybe 20 Ks. So that just shows you how many videos and audios and notes that people are going and downloading and looking at and doing. And a lot of the people that do this are preachers getting sermons. I know. I am one. I don't go there and get my sermons, but... But 1,563 every day, dude. I mean, it's amazing. There's over 300 sermons up there, and I'm constantly getting emails. I'm constantly getting phone calls and stuff like that all the time. I had a guy that called me. It was back during the holidays. I wasn't in my study, and he called me, and he called twice. And what he had done is he got on that website, and he'd found a sermon that I did back in 1995, 13 years ago. Did it back then. Is that right? 13? That doesn't sound right. I did it in 1995. Yeah. Okay. And anyway, and what it was a Father's Day sermon, I suppose. And what it was about was irrevocable blessing, and it's where a dad blesses his children. How important it is for a father to bless his children. And this guy's daddy had passed away when he was a baby, when he was a young man, a child. And he was calling me and asking me if I would call him and bless him. And he called me two times and emailed me once. That's how serious he was. And I did it. But we get stuff, and the website also tells you from where people are coming. Asia, Japan, Africa. It's astounding, the influence. And so what I'm wanting you to see is that you're showing up on Sunday and you're participating in what I'm going to be talking about over these next couple of weeks is vital. We influence way, way more people than we realize we do. So these three reasons. Well, I want a place that I enjoy worshiping, that I can come and enjoy myself and worship God and feel the presence of God. I want a place that when we invite people to come, that we're proud of, And that we're happy that they came, and we're not ashamed of anything that we do. And I want a place that continues to make an influence, not just in a small area, but in the planet, on the world, in the world. I want that kind of ministry. And so what I'm going to be talking about is that. That's the importance of why I want to talk about this. Then, now, I want you to pretend with me, if you will, for something for the next few minutes. I want you to pretend like you really would like to know the answers to this question. You know, what can you do? I know some of you couldn't care less. And maybe you don't. But just humor me, you know, and just make me think that you do. And so I'm going to count to three in just a second. And when I do this, I want you to make it personal. I want you to say back to me, and I want you to say it loud so that people can hear that there are people here. And I want you to say really loudly, what can I do? Right? Not make it personal. So, okay, will you do that for me? Will you play with me? All right, 1, 2, 3.
What can I do?
Whoa! Well, I'm glad you asked, because I really want to tell you. Good. Wow. Well, you sound like way more than we are. Anyway, that's great. That's great. That's great. All right. So here's the first thing that I want to present to you as to what you could do to help us do what God's called us all to do and why our church exists. And it's connect. Put it up there. Number one, I want you to connect. And what I'm specifically want to talk about and emphasize in this connect thing is small groups or life groups. And I know all of a sudden you already got some flags going up and some, I don't want to hear about that. Just hear me out. Play with me, okay? Just let me talk to you just a second. Because what I'm going to show you today is that if we're not doing this, if we're not connecting in small groups, we're really not having church. And we're not going to create an environment in which people will want to come, like we were talking about coming. So I want to just talk about this. Now, some of you are deeply connected, some of you are mildly connected, and some of you are disconnected. And I want us to understand that we have got to connect if any of us are going to do what God has called and asked each of us to do. And what we need to understand and what we don't understand is that small groups, that life groups is what we call them here. What small, because, and there's a reason, because it's from them you get life. But from the small groups is the essence of the Christian experience. I'll work on it, and you'll see it in just a second. It's the essence of the Christian experience. I heard one preacher say it this way, and I liked it, so I picked it up and want to use it and build around it. He says that circles are better than rows. Circles are better than rows. What does that mean? That means that you're sitting in a circle with people face to face, interacting with them, connecting with them, is better than sitting in a row looking at me. You're going to get a lot more out of sitting in a circle with people connecting and talking and interacting with them than you're going to get sitting in a row listening to me talk. Are both necessary? Yes. The scriptures teach both. We need both. In fact, what I'm going to show you here in a few moments is that if we're not doing both, we're really not doing church. We're only at best half doing it, and that you really can't do one unless you do both. You really can't do one well unless you're doing the other one well. And it creates an environment in which people can come and that they can interact. And so this is kind of what I really want us to get our head on straight today about and understand. And I want to talk about it today, and I want to talk about it next week, and I want to give you a challenge for this year. So what we need to know is that when Jesus came on the planet, when he showed up, the way people worship God, the way the Jews worship God was very similar to how the pagans worship their gods. The way the Jews worship Jehovah was very similar to how the pagans worshiped Zeus and Aphrodite and Ashtaroth and Baal and Apollos and whomever and whatever. They're very similar. What they would do is they would go to a temple. And at that temple, they would take a bird and they'd wring the bird's neck off, you know, and sprinkle the blood around. or they would take a knife and they would slit the throat of an animal, of a bull or a cow or a goat or a lamb or a child. And they would offer that blood to God and to get his favor, to get the God of worship's favor, and to appease him or her or it, so that they would have a life uninterrupted by God, by the God. In other words, it wasn't a worship of love that they worshiped like we're worshiping our God with. It was a worship from fear. See, love should motivate our worship, but what motivated their worship was fear. Fear that God would curse them. Fear that God would strike them if they didn't come and leave their gold or their silver or their blood. And so when Jesus shows up on the scene, he says, it's not that way with me. That's not how I tell you to love God and how I want you to show your devotion and your love for God. It's not that way with me. The way that you will show your love for God and your devotion for God is by how you treat people. I want to show you this. So did you find your scriptures? So let's look at St. John chapter 13 and verse 34. And Jesus is talking here. He says, a new commandment I give you. Now Jesus is given a commandment. We've already got 10 or 600 in actuality in the old covenant. So he said, here's my commandment. Basically, those other ones only hang on this one. And we'll talk about that perhaps next time. But he says, here's my commandment. Here's what I'm really interested in. I give it to you. Love one another. That's my commandment. It goes on. As I have loved you, so there's our standard, right? That's a pretty big standard. As I have loved you, so you what? You must love one another. That's the second time he says it. By this, all men, women, all people, all humanity. How many? All will know that you are my disciples, that you're really after me, seeking me, loving me, chasing me, wanting to do it my way. That you are my disciples if you, he says it again, if you what? If you love one another. Jesus, what's your point? Here's what he says. My point is that the way people will know, the way you will know, the way anybody will know, those far from God, those close to God, the way anybody will know that you're serious about Jesus is by how you treat people. That you love one another. That you get into the lives of others. That others get into your life. It's not by how much scripture you know. It's not by how you, an ability to rattle off the Ten Commandments. And how many of us can do that anyway? Well, let's try. Number one, have no gods before me. Number two, worship no graven image. Right? Number three, no idol, no graven image. Number three, use not the name of the Lord in vain. Number four, Sabbath is holy. Keep it. How many of you do that? You're already breaking them, right? Sabbath is Saturday. It's not Sunday. Keep the Sabbath. Number five, honor your father and mother as long as you live, so that you'll live long. Number six, don't kill anybody. Thou shalt not kill. Number seven, shall not commit adultery. Number eight, shall not steal. Number nine, shall not bear false witness. And number 10, don't covet. Now, my ability, here's my point, is my ability to do that, does that show that I'm a disciple of Jesus? It's impressive that I can. I'm glad that I can. I know a lot of scripture, but does that prove that I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, that I'm serious about Jesus? No. That's not what he's looking for. It's not that you prayed the sinner's prayer. It's not how many times you prayed the sinner's prayer. It's not that I come in here every week and give my 10% of how God's increased me. And I have done that for 30 years or 40 years nearly now. That's not what proves. Now, Jesus said, I need to do that. I need to pray. I need to know the scriptures. But the way he knows, you know, I know, that I'm a serious person about Jesus Christ is by how I love people, how I treat people. That's how you know. Now, traditional religion emphasizes rows, right? Jesus emphasized circles. He emphasized getting with somebody, interacting, connecting with somebody. Jesus wants us to connect. Love people. Love one another. Treat people right. He says, this is how you'll know you're a disciple. Now, what I've got to do, and what most of you have got to do, is realize that circling up, getting in a circle, is not an add-on. What I mean is, it's not like, okay, I'm going to church. Now you're adding on. I got to now go to a circle group. You know, I got to now go to a group. It's not enough that I go to church on Sundays. Now you want me to go to a group meeting. No, see, that's the wrong attitude. Because I know most of you are like me. The last thing you need is something else to do. I don't need any more to do. But what I got to see and what I want you to see is that we're really not doing church. We're really not being disciples. We're really not serious with God unless we're interacting and loving people. We're really not having church until we circle up and come face to face and interact with people. Now, I want to show you this because this is what the scriptures teach. I want to show you this. In the book of Acts, don't put it up there yet, but in the book of Acts, it talks about how the church evolved and was developed in the first generation. When Jesus left, he just left it with the people that he had been teaching. And so it shows about 50 years here of development of the church. That's what the book of Acts is about. Jesus isn't there. He leaves in chapter 1. And now they take it and they run with it. And so what I want you to see is how they did it, how they created this environment that in one generation touched the then known world. In one generation. I want us to see how they did it. So in Acts chapter 2 is in the chapter where the Holy Ghost comes and fills them and does that, those things. But I want you to see what they did with this power and what they did with what Jesus left them with. All right, so let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 46. It says this, every day, so they were very consistent with this, every day they continued to meet together. And here's how they did it. Meet together in the temple courts, and that's their rows. That's where they would be in the rows. They broke bread in their homes. And that's the circle. In their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, and enjoying the favor of how many people? All the people. What were these people seeing? What was giving the people the favor with these people? Why were these people so favorable? It's because of their love for one another. How they got along, how they loved each other, and how they took care of each other. All right, put the next part up. And the Lord added in this environment, in the rows and the circles, and the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. So the environment that they created was an environment of rows and circles. Both are important. And we're gonna see why. Now this is in Acts chapter 2. Several years later, we read again about them doing the same thing in Acts chapter 5. Several years later, put that up for me. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. It says, day after day, in the temple courts, and from house to house, rows and circles, they never stopped teaching. Now what were they doing in these rows and circles? Teaching. This is what I'm doing here. But what I'm doing, taking it down just for a second. But what I'm doing right here is basically giving you broad strokes. I'm giving you the big picture. But what happens in the circle groups, in the small groups, is the intense things, the definitions, the fingers and the toes and the hands and the feet and how the picture comes to life. Because all I can do is give you a big picture, and you're listening to me talk. But in a circle group, and we'll talk about that as we close. In a circle group, you get to talk. In a circle group, you get to ask questions. In a circle group, you get to teach. And there's teaching that goes on in both areas. So it's different kinds of teaching. Now, put it back up. Let me finish it. So they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. In those days, here it is again, in this environment, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing. So this is what was happening, and this is what they did. They did rows and they did circles. And in these circle groups, they would come together and they would hug up and really share themselves. And in the row times, they were being taught the things of God. I want to ask you a question. How did the Jesus movement, it was brand new, how did that Jesus movement, how did that exist? Why did it not die after Jesus left? Why did it not die? Their leader's gone. Rows and circles. See, they had it figured out. It wasn't because of the dynamics of those guys. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and used mightily by God. Yeah, I'm giving them their just due. But it was because what those guys did was rows and circles. And they taught. And they loved one another. They didn't have the Gospels. They didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They had them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but they didn't have their teachings. And wherever Matthew and Mark and Luke and John were, then that's all that there were. Everybody didn't have a Bible of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to carry around with them. They didn't have the epistles of Paul, of how the church should work and how we should interact together. They didn't have the epistles of James and Peter. They didn't have the book of Revelation. They didn't have any of that stuff. It hadn't been written yet. What they had was the knowledge of loving one another. What they had was rows and circles. What they had was a connecting of each other. And the church grew, and in one generation, affected the then known world. Every continent, every place had been infected and affected by Jesus Christ. They told everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is the Christ. So years later now, and I'm about to stop, and I know that you're worried because he's going to try to get all these notes today, and he's not even halfway through yet, and I'm not. I'm stopping right here in just a second. So just a few years later now, a lot of years later, now this is about 50 years after the ascension of Jesus. We read now Paul. Paul is in Rome, and he writes this. And so let me show this to you. Put up Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. Paul writes this, the Apostle Paul says, "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you how? Publicly, like this, rose, and from what? House to house in circles. I've taught you. This is where I've done and accomplished it, is in rows and circles." Here's, I'm winding it up. And here's what I want to conclude with today. You see, we're limited in rows as to how much we can do. There's not a limit in a circle. I paint the broad stripes and broad brushes, but in the circle groups, the intimate things in life, I can talk about marriage. I can show you scriptures about marriage. I can give you a few examples. But it's in the circle groups. If you're having trouble in your marriage, you can get some real solutions. Because you can be guaranteed that everybody in that circle has had marital problems. I was thinking about it this year. She and I will be married 46 years, June the 26th. 46 years. How much about marriage do you think she knows? How much does she have to know to live with me for 46 years? How many of you would like to know what she knows? She has raised two amazing children. She has four grandchildren. How many of you would like to know what she did when our kids, when our children, when our teenagers rebelled? They wouldn't listen to us because we were dumb as dirt.
How would you, how would you like? Some of you are very successful financially.
How many of us would really like to gain? See, I can teach you about what the Bible says about finances, but in a circle, somebody can tell you how to do it. And in a circle group, there's such more intimate teaching. In a circle group, there's a connection that it just doesn't end. In a row, rows end on each end. You can stumble out of a row, but you have a hard time stumbling out of a circle if you're in the center and people get around you. And that's what I want to talk about next time. See, there's something that dynamically takes place in church when we do it right. We do rows and circles. We create an environment that draws people, that Jesus saves. The church spreads in a way that it hasn't spread before. And so this year, I really want to get serious, not just about rows, but also about circles. Because Jesus was interested in rows and circles. That's how we do church right. Now, I want to create an environment that when we come, we're happy to be here. We don't have to make ourselves come. We look forward to getting here. We even get here early. Can you imagine that? Well, that'd be a great place. Come early. We enjoy it. We want to be here. I want to create that. I want to create a place where an environment where when you get people here, oh man, they love it. They just rattle on and talk about it, how great and wonderful it is and all that stuff. I want to create an environment where your babies are safe and your toddlers are safe and your children are safe and your teens, your middle schoolers and your high schoolers, where they have an environment where they want to come to church and they get directions for their lives in your scope. I want you to have a place here where we come and this and the praise and worship is excellent. They couldn't get any better. That's what I want the teaching to be the best. I don't want it to be able to go any place better. I want to create an environment. And this is what we're going to be talking about. And so next time we come back, I want to finish up the notes and I want to add a more to it, some thoughts, because I only got halfway through, so I'll have a little more time maybe. And I want to talk about this because I see how vital this is for your life. Because you're really not a disciple. You're really not serious with Jesus unless you're really loving people, unless you're circling up, pouring out what you've got, letting people pour into you what they've got, loving one another. Let's pray.